We're joined today by Damon Rands. Damon Rands is the CEO and founder of Pure Cyber. Damon, how are you doing?
I'm good, Lewis. How are you, mate? You okay?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Pure Cyber is one of our strategic partners with SkyCloud. I know that you guys have got vast amounts of experience in this part of what we're discussing. So I thought it'd be great to get your take on what your exposure has been in terms of the advanced and changing threats and the threat perimeter, I guess, for cybersecurity. What we're looking to do and what I wanted to get out of the conversation today is to see if we can put together, I suppose, a bit of a survival guide for SMEs. And that might look at exploring some of the most common cybersecurity threats faced by SMEs and some of the practical strategies that are involved in combating those. What would your interpretation be of the threat background would be for SMEs at the moment?
Right. So I'll go back first. I thought I'd challenge you a little bit on the changing landscape. And to be honest, I think the landscape really hasn't changed, right? Because, you know, phishing has been around a very, very long time now. It's the number one delivery method for cyber attack. It's a real, real problem for businesses. It's the cause of so many types of breaches. Ransomware, it's been around for a very, very long time, and denial of service and things like that. So the landscape has sort of been there for a while. But I think what has changed is businesses' perception of it now. Yeah. More and more businesses are aware of it. So I suppose it feels like it's moving because more and more people are talking about it. But the problem has always been there. There's the stat that's been released, that's been mentioned so many times over the last few years, is that, you know, 80% of businesses across the world have been hacked. The other 20% don't realize it. Right? So, yeah. So that's what I would say with that. And you know, I've already mentioned it, right? Phishing. Phishing is such a huge problem, you know, and it's only getting worse with the advent of ChatGPT and all these other AI products that can build. Because if you think about it, it goes all the way back to, we all used to get those letters pre-email days about that there was a prince from another country that had this money tied in a bank account. You yeah. give him £25,000.
They were quite easy to spot back in the day, but they changed tack a little bit.
Exactly, you know, yeah. and that's the problem that we've had and up until recently, but now phishing emails are damn good, right? They're really, yeah. really difficult to spot. So yeah. that makes it even harder for, you know, the average person to understand and spot a problem. So I would definitely start with that. And I'm sure that's something that you've seen your end a lot as well.
Well, we've seen, being a managed service provider, our service desk, you know, services thousands of users across multiple businesses. So over the years, we've had quite an interesting cross-section of what some of these phishing attacks look like. And yeah, completely agree, the sophistication now is very, very difficult to distinguish what could be genuine and what's not. Obviously, there's the typical trademarks to look for, but we're seeing things from like, you know, like a .gov background. So it looks quite formal. People think, oh, you know, .gov must yeah. need to take it seriously. We've seen Amazon, because lots of businesses use Amazon Business. That's quite an easy take. And obviously, they're looking to sucker in some of the employees that are looking for a quick perk with £10 Costa vouchers, for example. So it's quite yeah. interesting the lengths they'll go to. But yeah, they've come a long way since the £10,000 reward for moving some money for a prince, as you say.
The cyber criminals put a lot of effort and time into this, because there's a lot of reward for them. I mean, for our clients, we continually use and test the user's awareness of sort of situational awareness of cyber risk by sending phishing emails to them. And, you know, when you take the time and the effort to resource and research a situation, you can make it so much more believable. And I've given you this example, but it's still by far the best example I can ever give. We were working with a law firm. We were planning to run a phishing campaign for them to test the user's awareness. It was exactly the same time we were doing some research on the internet. We found that their IT provider, their MSP, had published a shiny case study about them moving from Azure on-premise to Azure AD just as they were completing it. So we pretended to be the MSP. We sent an email out saying, thank you so much for all your help. We've written an awesome case study about you and linked to the real case study. And then, so we won't bother you again, can you just click this link and reconfirm your credentials and we'll leave you alone. Over 850 people gave us their credential. Wow. And, you know, and that was out of a company of about 1,300 employees. So a lot of people gave us their details.
An attack that effective can be turned around in such a short space of time.
Exactly. I think, there was Office 365 credentials that we ended up with. That's why they're so effective. And that's why we still continue to see them being used. And the more sophisticated, more advanced we see them, that's where they cause the problems. And obviously they use then to deliver payloads like ransomware and other malware. And there's still so many businesses don't really understand that you have to have a secure disconnected backup. And it's something that you guys can talk more about way more than we do. But you can have all the defense and protection in place, but sometimes, you know, there are brand new cases of malware and ransomware that exist called zero days that nobody knows about. And if they don't know about it, it's really, really hard to protect against it, right? So you can be really unlucky and still get caught. So that's why, you know, backup is just so important.
And we completely agree. We see it all the time where customers, they can have, you know, the best antivirus, the best firewalls. They can invest a lot of money into security vendors and technology, an awful lot of money. But fundamentally, what you're saying is, you know, the threat plane, yes, is all of those interfaces which those technologies cover, but just as big a threat, if not probably larger, is the, as they say, the fleshy meaty bit behind the screen, which is actually interacting with the technology day to day. You're as strong as your weakest employee, is, you know, a term that we've heard before. So the points of entry have been fairly similar. The sophistication in which they're looking to organizations are looking to compromise other businesses is getting better and better. For any SME that is watching, that is wanting to get to grips with, you know, putting together a survival guide, what would you say that, I suppose, that are the key points to address as the priorities?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we've already talked key points. We talked about phishing, right? How do you defend against phishing? Well, yes, you can have layers of technology, but education is really, really important. But a wider piece of education, not just phishing, but about passwords. But, you know, if we can explain to users the why we do things, why we put things in place like multi-factor authentication and those type of things, it really helps with the buy-in as well. So, you know, education is super important. So there's one sort of layer, one key thing that businesses have to do. I think then what is really, really important and is completely non-technical, I should say, right, is for businesses to understand what data they actually have. Right? So it sounds ridiculous, that is, but so many businesses don't have a clue what data they actually store and where is it. Again, you would think, well, of course I know where my data is. And in the good old days, right, when you were very young and I started out in this industry, right, data used to be on your computer, right? It was on the computer in front of you. And then as the company got bigger, it was on a server. It never went anywhere else. Now we use SaaS applications and everything is absolutely everywhere, right? But what a business needs to understand is what data they have, where is it, and who uses it, right? So the three W's from that point of view is so important. Yeah. So once you can understand that, you can understand what data, you can deduplicate your data, because we see that so often, you know, holding really sensitive data in different places is probably not a great thing. You can rationalize products, so you can find that you're storing, you can break down, instead of using three SaaS applications, you can break it down into one and so on. It just adds so many benefits and it is really non-technical. There is no, you don't have to worry about firewalls and everything else like that. So a bit of governance and understanding that is really, really important. And then you get on to the more, how can I say, the more technical stuff. So if, you know, what happens if someone opens a phishing email and then a device gets infected? Well, there's a number of failures here. Okay, obviously that the user has clicked on a phishing email, but quite often what the cyber criminal is looking to do is take advantage of a vulnerability on a computer, right? So with the vulnerabilities on computers, patching plays an absolutely huge part, and that's where part that the MSPs can play. But unfortunately, Lewis, not all MSPs are equal, and some just don't patch very, very well. So yeah, that getting a grip and getting a grip and understanding. You know, there's been a standard that's been around for quite a few years now called Cyber Essentials. We're both familiar with that. It's a great starting point, but what we've noticed is a lot of the companies that go through Cyber Essentials, they don't do any patching all year. Then they've got to do their Cyber Essentials assessment, then they patch. So the IT providers patch at that point and then, well, it just doesn't work like that. I mean, that's not a great way of doing it. 99% of patches and things that come out fixes for Windows or for the Mac or for Android are fixing vulnerabilities. They're very rarely adding new features. You know, they have product releases for that. This is something completely different. So these vulnerabilities need to be patched. So a company needs to stay on top of those all the time. That is super, super important.
I guess it's a bit like only locking your back door for a 1 week of the year, right? When you're expecting to get the security of your home checked. But apart from that, negating to consider that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really important. And then, so it plays two parts because the reason why Pure Cyber and SkyCloud work so well together is that, you know, you are experts in the work that you do. And we like to think we're experts in the area that we work in. And that should be exactly how it is, that you are the guys who implement, you are the guys who configure and maintain. And then we're the guys who test and monitor to make sure everything is working. And, you know, working together, that's a fantastic relationship. Then you've got two organizations who are experts in their fields, making sure that your clients are secure. And that's the place we should be in, you know. So patching is so important. That's unbelievable. Great endpoint defense as well. Pretty important as well. Businesses need to understand that their devices need to be secured, but not just some of them. You know, not like I was talking to a potential client who was infected a couple of weeks ago because all they'd done is put their endpoint defense software on their servers and didn't bother with their workstation because the endpoint defense they thought was way too expensive. They'd installed it on that and negated to install it on the workstations. All the workstations got hit. Yeah. So caused them an absolute problem.
There's some great considerations that we've covered off from that you've mentioned: education, data locality, where it's stored, what you're storing, who needs access to it, ongoing patching, which is going to obviously protect devices against manufacturers identified vulnerabilities, and obviously endpoint protection. So across those points, definitely cast a wide net and to provide a pretty comprehensive security posture by addressing each of one of these individually. And we've helped a number of our customers achieve their Cyber Essentials. Cyber Essentials can be quite a daunting process, but as an MSP, you know, we have access to probably about 90% of the information that's required to submit a Cyber Essentials response. So for us to be able to do that for a customer is very easy, very straightforward. But it is worrying how little security has been considered up until that point, when they just want to achieve the accreditation. Some of the charities and non-for-profits we work with, they might need to achieve Cyber Essentials because funding might be dependent on demonstrating an accolade for security, for example. I think what would be a really good idea, I think what we're probably going to do is we're going to package these points together into some kind of downloadable content, and we'll make this available for some of the SMEs that are tuned in or looking at this at the moment. Well, great. Thank you very much for joining us today, Damon. Thank you very much for taking the time.
My pleasure.